We turn our hearts and our thoughts to God's word this morning as we look at James. James chapter 3. I'll be reading verse 13 through chapter 4, in the first part of verse 8. So James chapter 3 is where we'll begin with verse 13. Hear now the word of the Lord. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let them show it by their good life, by deeds done in humility that comes from wisdom. But if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, demonic. For where you have envy and selfish ambition there, you find disorder in every evil practice. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. Peacemakers who sow in peace reap a harvest of righteousness. What causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desires that battle within you? You desire, but you do not have, so you kill. You covet, but you cannot get what you want, so you quarrel and fight. You do not have, because you do not ask God. When you ask, you do not receive, because you ask with the wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. You adulterous people, don't you know that friendship with the world means enmity against God? Therefore, anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God. Or do you think Scripture says without reason that he jealously longs for the Spirit he has caused to dwell in us? But he gives us more grace. That is why Scripture says, God opposes the proud, but he shows favor to the humble. Submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Come near to God, and he will come near to you. This is the word of the Lord. The keeper of the spring is a quiet old man. He lived up in the Austrian village near the Alps. This old gentleman was hired a long time ago by the city council to clean away the debris from the pools of water that would collect up there, keeping them clean from the spring that would feed this little village. Faithfully, silently, regularly, the keeper of the spring patrolled the hills, removed the leaves and the branches, and wiped away the silt from the water that choked and contaminated that fresh spring water that would flow down into the village. By and by, the village became a popular attraction place for visitors and for vacationers. Beautiful white swans floated along the crystal clear spring. The mill wheels at various businesses turned day and night. Farmlands were naturally irrigated, and the view from the restaurants were picturesque beyond imagining. Well, years passed by, and eventually the city council got together one evening and to discuss the budget. And they thought, well, who is this keeper of the spring up there that we send so much money to all the time? We never even see him. Does he even do anything, or is he just sitting there collecting a paycheck? We don't know what he does. And so they ended his job. They fired the keeper of the spring. For several weeks, nothing changed. But autumn came eventually, and the trees shed their leaves, the small branches snapped off, falling into the pools of water up there, higher up in the hills where the keeper of the spring lived and used to work. One afternoon, somebody noticed a slight yellowish tint in the water. A couple of days later, it started to turn a little brown. And within another week, a slimy film covered the water there in the village. And then algae, green algae, started to grow everywhere. A foul odor came in the air, kind of like what you smell when you go into Walmart and the can return section. You know what I'm talking about. Disease and sickness spread throughout the village. Quickly, The embarrassed city council met again and discovered the error of their ways and quickly rehired the keeper of the spring. And within a few weeks, the river began to clear up, the wheel started to turn again, and life started to return again to this village there in the Austrian Alps. Well, you might be familiar with this story. Peter Marshall, a well-known former chaplain of the U.S. Senate, loved telling this story about the keeper of the spring. This morning, I want to talk a little bit about spiritual disciplines. Our disciplines, our spiritual habits, are kind of like the keeper of the spring for us, the keeper of our souls. Spiritual habits or disciplines have been neglected by many people in our very busy world and culture. We've forgotten why they exist. Sometimes we forget what they are, and we don't put a lot of effort into them or initiative into doing some of those spiritual practices. But healthy churches are full of people who receive spiritual health from God by exercising good spiritual practices, spiritual disciplines in their lives. The disciplines keep those unhealthy debris from settling in our souls and choking off the flow of spiritual life. The spiritual disciplines keep away the foul odor of bad attitudes and hurtful words and worldly mindsets and ungodly lifestyles. In our Bible reading today, James was writing to a church that was really suffocating from certain debris that clogged the healthy flow of spiritual life into their church. In fact, the church was dying by fratricide, brother killing brother. In other words, they were killing each other with their hatred and hurtful words toward each other. The beginning of chapter 3 of James talks about this, the taming of the tongue. Well, there's a reason why James is talking about this, right? He's experiencing this in his own church, where people were tearing each other down all the time. They were not keeping, they were not taking care of their spiritual lives, their spiritual springs, their hearts, right? And Jesus talked about what's in the heart tends to flow out of the mouth, and well, that was happening here. They were following a worldly wisdom instead of a godly wisdom for their lives and practices for keeping those spiritual springs of life-giving water in their souls from flowing. So first this morning, are we following the wisdom of God or the wisdom of the devil? James puts it very, very starkly that way. Are we following the wisdom of God or the wisdom of the devil? The people in James' church, they jettisoned their keepers of the soul. They fired them and replaced them with the knowledge and habits that James says comes directly from hell. Wisdom of the devil is full of pride, of self-righteousness, of bitterness. Who is wise and understanding among you, he asks in verse 13. Let them show it by their good life, by deeds done in humility that comes from wisdom. James is defining what true wisdom is for us here. It's not wisdom or no wisdom. It's what kind of wisdom are we talking about? What does it mean to be truly wise? Apparently, there were these false teachers in the community with James, and they were teaching what he calls this false wisdom. James says wisdom will be proved by its results. You will see wisdom, says James, when you see the good fruit of wisdom. You will see it in a person's lifestyle, choices of behavior, where the money is spent, the kinds of media that's being consumed, and the like. Well, there are two kinds of wisdom, says James, the kind that comes from the devil himself, and there's the kind that comes from heaven. The unhealthy and unholy dispositions of a bitter envy and selfish ambition are wedged into the hearts of many people. If you have bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth, he says in verse 14. Such wisdom does not come from, verse 15, does not come down from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, demonic even, he says. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find the results of that kind of heart attitude. What are the results? Disorder and every evil practice. Choking the spring of life with unholy habits of the heart and mind. Poor thinking, poor attitudes, selfish pursuits, they result in unholy, unhealthy behavior. Bitter envy, verse 14, literally means a type of zeal. It was an overblown, inappropriate devotion to God, where some people, they thought they knew what God wanted for them. They thought they knew what God wanted for the church and meant for the church, and they were going to make it happen no matter what. Who cares who gets rolled over, whose feelings get hurt, who gets broken or killed in the process? It doesn't matter. We know we got a word from God, and we're going to make it happen. Who cares what the leadership of the church even feels like or cares or thinks about? We're going to do it. It's my way at all costs. Means. Well, just the ends justify the means. Bitter envy desires what it wants, even if it hurts someone else. You think you're wise, asked James to these overly zealous believers. You think you know the right way and you know what you're doing is right. Well, look at the results of your so-called wisdom, he says. There are divisions. There's dissension in the body. People are getting hurt. Your selfish ambition is choking the lifeblood to this congregation. Your type of wisdom, says James, is unspiritual. It's human-centered. It's base. It's a desire for personal status or prestige, self-centered. This type of wisdom is demonic. It's of the devil, not godly wisdom. Not godly wisdom. So secondly, we learn this morning from our passage that godly wisdom is gained by practicing spiritual disciplines. Godly wisdom is gained by the practice of spiritual disciplines, the coming near to God, as James calls it. Well, how do we come near to God? In what ways do we come near to God? What ways do we resist the devil? Practically, how do we resist the devil? How do we come near to God? How do we submit to God, right? Well, I think it goes without saying that our churches today struggle with unhealthy divisions and discord too. And it's sad when you consider the sorts of things that churches divide over and break themselves up into factions. Colors of the hymnal have been around for a long time, have been a reason for that. The types of songs or musical instruments that are used in worship services. Mass or no mass, to put it recently. Vaccines or no vaccines, etc., etc. The devil can use anything to divide us. And he has free rein when we keep the spiritual spring, if we don't keep the spiritual spring flowing freely, and if everyone is merely concerned about themselves, just their needs, their own rights, their freedoms, their own goals, their own pleasure, their own individual desires, when everyone's only thinking about themselves and not about the greater good, either of the congregation or about the community, the devil works in that, I think, works in that individual me-ism. It's all about me. It's all about my rights, my individual freedoms, and nobody else matters. The devil works in that. It works division and discord and hurt and brokenness. When we allow the spring of life to get polluted with selfishness, self-pride, hatred, and envy and revenge, we open ourselves up to all sorts of evil and disorder and evil practices among us. We begin to think that the ends must justify the means. We also live in a very busy time, in a busy world, in a busy culture. We don't have time for our families, let alone other people. There's little time to reflect on life and what it means and where it's going and where God is in life. We're tyrannized by the urgent, the next thing, and spending quality and quantity with time with God often seems like a waste of time to some people. Spiritual retreats have no practical purpose. After all, efficiency and pragmatism are our culture's values. It's so difficult for folks to do what Psalm 46:10 says, to be still. To be still and know that I am God. So let me ask you, how often do you tend to your soul? How often do you tend to your soul? Do you practice soul care? Are you keeping your spiritual spring by spending time in God's presence and listening, receiving from Him? God came to Elijah not in the loudness, not in the busyness of life, not in the fire, the earthquake, or the howling wind, but in the gentle whisper, right? And you've got to be kind of quiet to hear the gentle whisper. What are you doing right now to make God a priority in your life? Over all the things that are going on, especially as we start to begin school again and many church activities and other things in our lives and sports schedules, what are you doing to make God and keep God a priority in your life? Among all the busyness out there. In other words, what type of wisdom are you believing and living by? Or whose wisdom are you living by? Well, our vision here at Fellowship Church is to grow disciples into disciple makers. A disciple is a follower of Jesus, right? A disciple is a student of Jesus, literally. So as a church, we want to grow and teach and encourage all students of Jesus, and of all ages, all disciples, so that we may in turn become disciple makers who help others to grow in their commitment and in their faith walk with Jesus too one day. So one way to grow disciples is teaching each other how to keep our spiritual springs free and clear by using the spiritual disciplines, practicing the spiritual disciplines, training one another, teaching each other how to do them, to draw near to God, as James says, to resist the devil, to submit to God. Well, Richard Foster is an author who has written the classic on spiritual disciplines called The Celebration of Disciplines. In it, he says there is a desperate need today, not for more intelligent people or gifted people, but for deep people. It's a desperate need today for deep people. Christianity in America is often 1,000 miles wide, but only an inch deep. People don't often go very deep in their faith. What is needed so desperately today are people who are not superficial in their faith, but are deep when it comes to their faith walk. They're not content with just drinking spiritual milk, as the Apostle Paul would say, or to remain spiritual infants, but eager to grow in their maturity and to take in solid food, to dig into God's word, to know what God says, to understand it better, and to become a deeper person spiritually requires training. It requires discipline for spiritual life and keeping those spiritual springs clear. This type of training in godly wisdom has traditionally been referred to as spiritual disciplines. The spiritual disciplines that Foster writes about in his book are these: meditation, prayer, fasting, study, simplicity, solitude, submission, service, confession, worship, guidance, celebration. These are some keepers of the soul, some of the keepers of the soul, right? The disciplines intentionally place us before the living God so that the blazing fire of His Spirit can burn away all the debris that settles on our souls. Debris, or evil, as the Catechism says, constantly clings to us. How do we deal with that? How do we get in a place where God's burning Spirit can burn away that evil, the debris of this world? So in the spiritual discipline of meditation, for example, we choose to focus in silence on some portion of God's word and for a prolonged period of time. It's Christian meditation. We're not just emptying our minds. We're focusing on God's word and God's will for our lives. In prayer, we communicate with God, of course. We seek Him, we listen to Him, and we intercede for others. In fasting, we give up food, a basic need of the body, for a greater need of the spirit. Some people fast for a meal, some for a day or a couple of meals or a couple of days or more. Just giving up the need for food, understanding that God is more important even than food. In simplicity, we discipline ourselves to live a simpler life in this very complex world. Practicing solitude, we choose to separate ourselves from others for a period of time, to be alone, just me and God. In submission, we learn to be obedient to God and to our human authorities, even if we didn't vote for Him. In the discipline of service, we learn to serve Christ by serving one another, even if they don't thank us. Confessing our sins on a regular basis is a great discipline for cleansing, whether we do it privately or with a trusted friend or an elder or pastor. We worship regularly and privately too, as a body, and it's part of our discipline. Guidance is a discipline we choose because we don't want to be a lone ranger Christian. We don't want to do life on our own, and we don't want to do the spiritual life with God on our own. We choose to live in community. That's why we choose to gather and to worship as a community. And so when we have tough decisions and big decisions in life, we want to bring in our wise, learned brothers and sisters in Christ and to get wisdom, to get guidance and advice about those big decisions that we need to make. And with the discipline of celebration, we learn not to take ourselves too seriously. We learn to have fun. We learn to celebrate and rejoice in all that is good in life. We learn to celebrate our victories and accomplishments, and we give God the glory. Do you hear the word discipline and the word disciple? being a disciple, being a student of Jesus, requires some discipline, like any other training, right? Whether you're training for athletics or training for a certain job, you train for the spiritual life. It requires some training, some discipline. It's part of being a disciple of Jesus. And as a church, through worship, through teaching, through outreach, through fellowship, and through service, we here at Fellowship have a vision and a calling from God to grow disciples into disciple makers, so that we as students of Jesus will learn to help others be a student of Jesus too. That's our vision. That's our calling as a church. Spiritually healthy churches are filled with individuals who regularly engage in the spiritual disciplines. That is, people who are committed to growing in their faith, growing in their walk with God. If the church is full of people who are not training for the spiritual life as they train for their jobs or for athletics, then the church is not spiritually healthy. The flow of living water is being choked and becoming tainted and full of silt and green algae and smelling like Walmart in this fallen world over time. Godly wisdom and spiritual health flows through the spiritual disciplines, helping us to follow Jesus as we're on mission together as a church. So as James here, he contrasts these two types of wisdom in our passage. He talks about wisdom that is earthly, unspiritual, and of the devil, or demonic, on the one hand. But in verse 17, he talks about a type of wisdom that comes from heaven. It's not wisdom that comes from our hard work or wisdom that we conjure up within ourselves, but it's a gift from God. It's wisdom, as it says, that comes from heaven. God is the giver of this heavenly wisdom we receive as we practice spiritual disciplines. Are your deeds done out of humility? Are they first of all pure, done with pure motives? Are they full of mercy, and do they result in good fruit? Are they impartial and sincere? And do your deeds result in peace? James says this kind of wisdom comes from heaven. You see it in the results. This true wisdom, the wisdom and the deeds that produce division and discord among the body, those deeds come from the devil. It's demonic. When we engage in soul care, when we are keeping the clutter and the trash out of our lives, we stop polluting our lives with the things of this world, what we're doing, we're rehiring the keeper of the spring to clear out the debris. A good life with good deeds done in humility, deeds that are peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere, this kind of a life is possible because of the love and the grace of God through our Lord Jesus Christ. A spiritually healthy life in church is possible when we intentionally place ourselves in God's presence through practicing of the disciplines, as we submit to God, as we resist the devil, and as we come near to God, we rely upon God to change our hearts, our attitudes, our dispositions, and help us grow as disciples, as students and followers of Jesus, so that we may be on mission and go into the world and help others to know and to commit themselves and to follow Jesus too, to be disciple makers. We keep trusting God to keep the spiritual water flowing in our life. God is faithful, and He will do it. Would you pray with me? God, we confess that we often have neglected the keeping of our spiritual lives. And then we wonder, whatever happened to you, God? Where are you? Why don't I feel your presence and your peace anymore? Why don't I have the joy in my life that I used to? Why have I lost my assurance, my hope? Lord, draw us back into your presence today. Thank you for spiritual disciplines that help us do just that. Work through our weak and fickle efforts by your Holy Spirit, that we would once again feel your presence, that we would experience your joy, that we would have peace that can only be found in you. As your disciples, your students, keep us growing, pruning, learning, and stretching so that we may be used by you in the spread of the gospel of Jesus Christ and the growth of your kingdom, by becoming disciple makers ourselves. For we pray it in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.